And Lord bless you.
Amen.
Let's have the song, The Love of God. Sing The Love of God.
God gave.
Yes, yeah, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you this evening for granting us another privilege to stand in your presence, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us all the week. We have been through many things, O Lord, to different places, but your grace has protected us, O Lord. We can take it for granted, O Lord, but if you could only open our eyes to see what dangers you kept us from, O Lord, to see what protection, how the angel of the Lord protected us from many different things, O Lord, we can just bow our heads and bow our hearts and thank you, O Lord. That's why we came, to say thank you. We came, Heavenly Father, to say thank you for granting us good health, O Lord. We came, Heavenly Father, to say thank you for keeping us on the roads. We came to say thank you for giving us food, O Lord. We came to say thank you for giving us a shelter, O Lord. We came to say thank you for having your people to fellowship with, O Lord. Many are missing these things. That's why you are a providing God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for our sister Melanie, that you have taken through a difficult trials, O Lord. We didn't know what the outcome would be, O Lord, but you knew, and we had confidence in you, and you brought our sister through peacefully, O Lord. We commit the rest into your hand. Let that operation to remove the needle in the back, let it be something that will provide for, O Lord, and our sister will come back home with the baby fully in good health, O Lord. We thank you for this moment. Now take us through this meeting. Speak to our hearts, O Lord. Provide the spiritual food that our souls need to grow spiritually and to reach maturity, O Lord. We thank you. Bless the preaching of the word. Bless the singing as we commit everything into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh,
as it is. In the songs of the dead, he invites his chosen to come in the night. From the eagle's feet, that's a night of heaven. As he sent to suffer Jesus all the time.
Good evening to each and everyone. Thank you to the musicians. We've come for our prayer meeting, and it's good to be here this evening. Let's open our Bible straight away to the book of James, chapter 1. Just like to take two thoughts this evening, one leading to the next. We'll take our first thought, then we'll come to a time of prayer, because that's what the thought will exhort us to do from the scripture. And then we'll take a second thought, which will bring us to the main thing, which I really do think at this time we should be praying about. So James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So if you lack wisdom, ask of God. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So if you're lacking wisdom, the scripture is saying, ask of God, he gives liberally. Let's then read from the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 3. We know the very obvious example of this one here. 1 Kings 3, we read verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Verse 9 and verse 10. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? And this speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Father, thank you, Lord, for these things that you read in your word as examples, as we exhorted last week, Lord, and to us to learn thereby. Father, lead us into the spirit of the word and quicken us this night and bless your people, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's be seated, saints. In a sense, we've been through a lot of things the last few weeks. I was quite glad just to have an opportunity to come this evening to do the prayer meeting. You know, Brother Max, he can't make it because of his foot.
And then Brother Faithful, he's really busy on his things this week. And Brother Eli, I know, is doing a Sunday school, and I didn't want to get Brother Will again. He needs a rest. So I said, let me just come and do it. And I was really glad for it, because the last 4 weeks, we've been through a very important topic. We've been through things concerning the digital age and, you know, about social media, video games, and all these kind of things. And it's quite a wild west. Like we said, it's a new frontier, new domain. My brother was away for a couple of months in Africa, and he just came back and he phoned me today. And it was amazing. He evangelized me for about 35 minutes about the evils of social media and this and that. And I said, it's amazing what you're saying. I said, my. He said, I only wish I'd have known these things when my children were young. He says, but when we were young, my children were young, he says, people didn't know these things that they're finding out now. And I said, yes, it's a new dimension. It's a new frontier. We need wisdom. We need grace to be able to handle these things. Now, the thought we want to take here is knowledge versus wisdom. Because the greatest mistake we can make is we can accumulate a lot of knowledge and then we don't use wisdom. And you know, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the correct use of knowledge. You know, so that's why the Bible is telling us here that the most important thing we should be praying for now is for wisdom. We've had a lot of knowledge. We've got a lot of facts and figures. We know what it is that needs to be done. We know the end result of where we'd like things to be as believers, as families, as a church. But you're going to need a lot of wisdom to be able to put this in place, to be able to take all of this knowledge and all of these facts and figures and all of the things which we can see and the concerns that we have and be able to apply these things in the right way. Wisdom in the Bible is insight into the true nature of things. You know, so knowledge is something where you just, you're learning facts. You know, knowledge is something that you just accumulate, whereas wisdom goes beyond knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to be able to use the knowledge correctly. And I think that's a very, very important thing, because zeal without knowledge is a dangerous thing. You know, people with just having a lot of knowledge, we can do a lot of damage with knowledge. You know, we need to now pray for wisdom to be able to use that knowledge. Lord, how am I supposed to use this knowledge? What is the way that things should be done? And according to the Bible dictionary, wisdom comes by intuition. Knowledge comes by reasoning. Knowledge comes by learning. But wisdom is something beyond that. It's something beyond your reasoning. You don't reason wisdom. Wisdom is like discernment. It's like just there's something is presented. You say, that's the way this is supposed to be done. Now, the moment you allow reasoning to kick in, generally speaking, you're going to mess it up. You know, now you're going to get yourself in the program. But sons and daughters of God, as you're seeking for wisdom, wisdom is, they say that knowledge is to your mind, where wisdom is to your heart. You know, it's that voice inside, that certain sound inside of your soul, that something inside of you that tells you what you need to do. When you reason it, maybe it doesn't even make sense to you at the time. But that's when you follow it, it's true and it's genuine and it'll lead you the right way. If it's divine wisdom that we're speaking about. You know, so it's like a discernment. You think of Solomon, he prays for wisdom. The Lord says, I'll give you wisdom. Amen. Speakers are giving us a headache. The Lord says, I'll give you wisdom. And straight away it's put to the test. And here comes these two harlots, a real life situation. And the one says, that's my child. And, you know, this other harlot took my child and laid on it in the night and it died. And she swapped the children around. And Solomon now, he's trying to just check the knowledge of what people are saying. But the divine solution to that problem, how to handle that problem, is going to go beyond just human knowledge. It's going to go to intuition. It was something that just presented itself. It was a divine solution. Just came to Solomon and said, give me the child. Cut it in two. Give half to both of them. And then the real mother cried, said, no, I'd rather let her have it. And the one that wasn't the real mother said, that's okay, cut the baby in two. So can you see it was a solution that nobody could have learned that from a book. You know, but it was something, was exactly the right thing that Solomon knew how to do at the time. And that's what wisdom is. It's taking all the knowledge, but it's like, how am I going to apply this knowledge? How am I going to find a divine solution to this situation? And that's what we need in our families and our homes. And that's what you need in our lives and in our relationships as well. Whenever conflict or problems come in or matters of controversy like the Bible says or tricky issues, you know, that have the capacity to bring division or have the capacity to bring misunderstanding, we're needing to pray for wisdom. And that's what James is saying. If anybody lacks wisdom, let him come and ask of the Lord for wisdom. We're desiring divine wisdom in these things. To say, Lord, cap off all of our knowledge by coming and giving us wisdom now to be able to apply this in the right kind of a way. They say wisdom is the ability to devise perfect ends and to achieve those ends by perfect means. So wisdom is you're looking at what needs to be done. All of us now know what needs to be done. No, we look around and we say, but hey, me, I've got a problem inside of my life. Or my children, they spend far too much time on the screens. Or they play too much video games, whatever that it is. We know the end. We can see what it is that the Lord wants us to do. But wisdom provides you the means, shows you how to get to that end. Amen. How to crack that one on the head and to get the job done. That's what wisdom is for. Wisdom, it discerns perfectly not only what needs to be done, but how to do it. Amen. And that's where the biggest problem comes in, isn't it? Because you know what to do, and sometimes you try to go and fix a problem when you don't know how to do it. We don't know the Lord's way of doing it. And the Lord's way of doing things is sometimes so different than the way that we want to do it. You know, Naaman, he thought he knew God's way. No, he must come and he must put his hand on and call upon his God. But God had a way for that problem that he had inside of his life to be resolved. That was him to go and dip in a river 7 times. You know, and that's when the prophet came and tapped into the mind of God and found the divine solution for Naaman. And came and told him, this is what you need to do. Imagine Elisha, he could have reasoned it out and said, what difference is it going to make for him? No, he didn't do that. Something came to him by revelation, and he just applied it in that situation, and it just needed Naaman to get his own reasoning, his own understanding out of the way, and just to yield himself to that divine wisdom, and that was exactly the solution to his problem. And it never fails. When you seek for wisdom from the Lord is going to give you wisdom. Now, if you have a seeking heart, a heart that is willing to learn, you really want to know, Lord, what is your way of handling this situation? Lord, what is your solution to this problem? I mean, it's just the very nature of God to reveal it to you if your heart is ready to receive it. But the problem is reasoning kicks in, yeah? And our past, our backgrounds, our temperaments, all of these things, self gets in the way of divine wisdom. And instead of making things better, we end up making the things far worse. You know, and the Lord's shown us what needs to be done. We know what the end result is, but sometimes we're running ahead before we know what the means are. You know, how are we going to do this? What is God's provided way of approach to do this? Because, you know, true wisdom comes from the Holy Ghost. Now, he's the greater than Solomon. And in our age, we've had the return of headship in our age. Remember with the cloud, the prophet says, the return of headship in our age, the pillar of fire. Imagine the resource we have to tap into in our age. If you just submit ourselves and yield ourselves to the Lord and seek his face with a heart that's willing to learn from him, I don't think we'll have any problem applying the things we've been learning. You know, we might have to modify things a little bit along the way, but that certain sound, that intuition, that revelation, that voice when the Lord tells you this is what you need to do, or don't do that now, or do this now, or don't leave it any longer. And every situation is different. No, so we need to get the wisdom. Wisdom is the art of being successful, it says, of forming the correct plan to get the desired result. That's what wisdom is. It's that ability to form the correct plan. It presents itself. Say, okay, I see. That's what Nehemiah had to wait for. He had knowledge of the problem, but he didn't yet have God's wisdom for the solution. But as he waited on the Lord and he sought for wisdom, now the plan presented itself to him. And he said, oh, that's the way you want us to handle this situation. Friends, it's a wonderful thing when you tap into divine wisdom. You know, you can be trying to, you'll find yourself the real the symptoms or the proof that you're in the realm of knowledge and not of wisdom is you don't have rest in your soul. Now you've got a problem with your child at home, you've got a problem in a relationship, problems at work, whatever. You don't know how to handle a certain situation. Yeah, and it's in your mind. You're trying to reason it out. You can't find rest. You go to bed and you're wrestling with it and you're getting up in the morning. And then you go and you lay it before the Lord and you seek the Lord like Solomon. And say, Lord, I'm just a child. How am I supposed to run these kind of things? I've never been in these situations before. And this thing that Solomon asked pleased the Lord. When you come to the Lord, like James says, and you're asking for wisdom, Now you find the wisdom comes and something just presents itself. You know what it's like. They say, oh, that's it. Now you're at rest. You know, now you don't want to reason it anymore. You don't want to let your mind get in the way because you're going to reason yourself out of revelation if you're not careful. But now you know what it is. And you know, that's what needs to be done. It's the sweetest thing when it presents itself. And if we can apply that in every situation, and more so in these kind of issues in our families, to be praying for divine wisdom, we know what result we're trying to get, but every family is different. The way I handle things, these things might not be the way you need to handle things. Your children are different. Your circumstances are different. Their temperaments are different. You know, the way things are, you know, your breaches in your wall of Jerusalem might be different than mine. But it's going to need us to tap into wisdom so we find the divine solution. So he shows us his way of approaching the problem. They say knowledge enables us to take things apart, but wisdom enables us to put things together again. You know, knowledge, we can break things up with knowledge. No, you guys, you shouldn't be so much on the screens. Gone, take out the router, throw it in the bin, you know, take the screens, dump them in the trash. That's knowledge. It's easy to take things apart, but you have the wisdom to be able to put it back together again. No, to be able to navigate through those kind of things and get people off their devices so much, get the healthy balance and still have a good, happy relationship inside of your family, and that your children are satisfied as well and you move on as a family. That's going to need wisdom, friends. That's going to need more than knowledge. Knowledge is able to break things down and take it apart and say, look at all the parts inside of this, but it takes wisdom to put it back together without having three or four screws left over and different things. No, you need wisdom in these kind of things. And it really does need that. If you think about Moses had knowledge. He had been told by his mother, told by his father, you're going to be the deliverer. You know, the time has come. And he tried to go and do God's work just using knowledge. Though he was the right person to do it, though the job needed to be done, but he tried to use knowledge. Now he tried to just reason out what people had told him to do. And what did it do? It made the situation worse. Yeah, because he never used wisdom. He never ever sought to come in contact with the one that gives wisdom. Say, Lord, okay, if you've called me to do this, if you want me to deliver these people, what is your way? Yeah. Give me wisdom to know how to do this. He didn't do that. He was sure of himself. He thought that he could do it. The prophet says in Believers That Position in Christ, the main thing is, if we can find where God's word belongs in our lives, God sets times and limits and he works to that time. And people try to do it within themselves. He's speaking about Moses. Now you try to do it within yourself. People try to do it within themselves. They try to make God's word fit into their program. You know, so you're saying, yeah, I'm really fed up with the way it is at home. My children are far too much on these devices. Good. I'm glad the pastor got on this topic because now I can do what I always wanted to do. Now you're trying to take God's word and fit it into your program. No, you don't want to be doing that. You know, you don't want to be doing that. We all make those mistakes. You don't need to make those mistakes. Learn from other people's mistakes before you. These are not good mistakes to make. People try to do it within themselves. They try to make God's word fit in their program. But you've got to do it vice versa. You've got to fit into God's program. So God's shown you what it is that you need to do, like Nehemiah. You know there's a problem. You know there's things that need to be resolved. But you now need to, okay, Lord, how do I fit into your program? You obviously have the program to resolve this. You know the way that the situation needs to unfold itself and come to a divine solution. So, Lord, help me now to find my position in your program. There's a big difference. Because when you're trying to fit God in your program, you have the headship. You're the one who's in control. But when you're trying to fit in God's program, you're coming humbly, Lord, I need your headship now. I need your definite leadership and wisdom in this. And you're seeking for that wisdom from the Lord. And like I say, all it needs is a teachable heart seeking divine wisdom. Like Solomon, you're seeking the divine solution. Lord, what is your way of doing this? Now, don't make the other mistake that you do nothing about it. You know, and next year we come and your children are still 8-year-old children are playing Fortnite for 6 hours a day and stuff. And you say, look, I'm still waiting upon the Lord for wisdom. No, now you've gone the other extreme on the other way. No, it's an urgent cry. We can't leave these things undone. And I believe as we come to prayer tonight, if you pray for wisdom tonight, God sees the pressing need. God sees the situation, the way that things are going in this age. God sees what these things do. You know, the effects that are being studied and they're warning us about all this unrestricted screen time and all these violent video games and stuff like that. Now, I believe if you come and seek the Lord with all your heart, he'll show you tonight the way to start resolving the problem. Or if you get up tomorrow in the morning and you seek his face, he's going to start giving you the wisdom. But don't just keep putting it off saying, I'm praying about it. I don't think that's a very good option either. Because some of these things, they need to be dealt with. Now, there needs to be some control put up about these things. So the prophets, you've got to fit into God's program. He says, Moses thought, well, the children of Israel will understand. Now you'll come and say, I'm going to go and speak to my family. Guys, come, sit down. We're going to sort out this issue now. And you think everyone's going to understand like Moses because you're using your knowledge. And he says, so he starts out to do so. He kills a man and he found out that the children of Israel did not understand. Yeah. And then you're going to find out your family doesn't understand. You've just offended everybody. Now it's not a partnership. You're not working together towards a common goal. You're not trying to bring an understanding and take things along in God's way. Now all of a sudden you've got yourself a big battle on your hands. Yeah, now you're going to find out that, hey, now it's wrestling against flesh and blood if you're not careful in this situation. Then Moses lost all the hopes and all the power that he had. He lost all thoughts of freedom. He thought, I'm fed up with this. Let them just do what they want. That's what you do to your family then. I don't care. Let them just play all that they want. If their brains rot, let their brains rot. They don't want to listen to me. That's what Moses did. He got offended with the people. Though he was the only man qualified in the whole age to deliver the people. Though he was born for the purpose, called for the purpose, but because he never sought for divine wisdom of how to fulfill the purpose, he messed up the program of God. And he got himself so offended with the people that he turned his back on them and said, I'm not going to pay any attention to these people. That was a serious thing. The prophet says, until God met him in the burning bush. You see, now he came to the Logos himself, the divine wisdom, the greater than Solomon. Now he took off his shoes and he approached the Lord the right way. And now the divine solution was presented to him. And the Lord showed him exactly how to go and deliver the people. And it was 100% opposite to what he thought. He thought I must use might and force and kill people and use my military upbringing. And the Lord told him, Moses, no, you're just going to take your staff and between you, me, and the staff, we're going to deliver the people. Amen. It was like foolishness to people, but it was the divine solution. Amen. It was God's way because God was going to go with Moses to get the job done now. Because now he was tapping into divine wisdom. He was tapping into the right thing. He says, until he met him in the burning bush. And when God's season came along just exactly, then he revealed his plans to Moses. God has you might have a problem child, you might have a child who's away from the Lord, whatever it is. God has a solution to that problem. God has his plans to deal with that problem. And sometimes when we get ourselves in the way, we're actually pushing people away from the divine solution. We're actually working very contrary to the very thing we're trying to achieve. And you don't want to be doing that for very long. The moment we start doing that, we should discern it quickly. It's like, okay, Lord, I'm trying to do this myself. This is now human will and human effort and human endeavor. When the Bible says it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And you're following in him. If you're following the Lord, he's going before you. He's paving the way. He's preparing the hearts of people. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you follow him. Then finally it says that when God revealed himself to him in the burning bush, he found out that the very thing that was in the burning bush was the thing that he lacked. Now, the very thing that Moses needed to get the job done was in the burning bush. Yeah, and that was the divine wisdom and the anointing and the power and whatever, the revelation to show Moses how to get the job done. And exactly what we lack. And Solomon realized that. He knew the very thing I lack is in the burning bush. I need to come to the Lord, to the Logos himself. And I need to speak and say, Lord, you've asked me to You've told me to ask anything that I want. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom to be able to lead your people properly. And if we as fathers would do that, and mothers, not only on the spiritual side for us as officers of the church, but as parents, if you'd come before the Lord and ask him for that and say, Lord, who am I to be able to lead these children? You created these souls. These are your young lambs and sheep. You know, in this difficult age, it's a treacherous age. We're trying to navigate safely through stormy seas. Who is able to do this? Lord, give me wisdom. And it says that this thing pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord that he asked for that. And I know tonight if we ask that, it's going to please the Lord. As we come before him, first of all tonight, just to pray for wisdom. And to pray concerning these situations for our families, our children, the circumstances that we're in. I do believe that it'll be a good thing. And for the young people, you should be praying for your parents to get wisdom. You'd say, Lord, I'm praying for my dad and my mom at this time. Please give them divine wisdom. You know, and then praying for yourself to say, Lord, give me a teachable heart as well. Give my dad a teachable heart. Give my mom a teachable heart. And give me a teachable heart as well. So we can come into a one accord. Because, Lord, your thoughts concerning this issue, concerning our family is one. God doesn't have two, three thoughts about whatever's happening in our homes. God has one thought, one mind. He has one solution. And what he just wants us to do is to get into a one accord. And that's going to need wisdom. You know, it's not going to be just a natural thing to do that. The prophet says that. He says, I think that that's a whole lot with us today. Many times we try to do the program ourselves and fail to get what was in the burning bush. The direct revelation of the will and time of God. Not just the what to do, but the how to do it and when to do it. Because you might know what it is you need to do, like Nehemiah, but you don't know how. When, Lord, how? Because some things have got to be done gradually. Some things have got to be done in stages. Some things you've got to be prayerful, and then the Lord opens the way, and you get a lot of it done, leave it for a season, pray about it, get the next season done. Whatever way the Lord wants to unfold these things in our lives, we need to just be seeking that which is in the burning bush. Now, the final thing he says, now Moses was looking first at the word. So first, it was knowledge. He was just looking at what the word said. What my mom says, my dad, they said in the Bible, Abraham, I'm going to deliver your people from bondage. He knew the promises. He was looking at the word. Now Moses was looking first at the word. The word of God had promised him deliverance. He knew the time was nigh. Now he had to have direct contact with God to know how and when to do it. And it's exactly the same as you and I. We need tonight direct contact with God to know how and when to do these things properly. In whatever circumstances and situations inside of our lives, we need direct contact with God, like Moses, to know how and when to do it. Because you might try to do it too quickly. You might try to do it too slowly. You know, you might try to do it too forcefully. You might try to do it too softly. Because it's you leading yourself. But he never gets it wrong. If you pray for his divine wisdom and overcome yourself and wait upon the Lord, and you just follow that leadership of the Lord, when he tells you, just go and dip in the river now seven times. Just go and dip seven times. And you're going to find that the solution to the problem comes. And God is going to manifest in your midst. And you're going to find that that problem now comes to an end. Friends, wisdom is such an important thing. Divine wisdom. You know, God is wisdom. Christ is the wisdom of God, the Bible tells us. And we're really needing that wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to judge correctly. So you're judging the issue correctly. You're not being too extreme. You know, like Brother Wilmore was saying the other day, we can be extreme. Sometimes we're not extreme enough. You know, some of us have extreme temperaments. Some of us have like laid-back temperaments. But my temperament, the prophet says, is many times not God's temperament of things. You know, the way that my nature wants me to do things is many times not what God's nature wants me to do. So I have to overcome myself and do it his way to get the job done. And that means I've got to overcome myself. It's the ability to judge correctly and then to follow the best course of action. Are you not desiring it inside of your life? And whatever else. I'm just applying this now to the things we've been covering recently. Because we need wisdom. We need wisdom. There's so much diversity even in the message about these kind of things. You know, some people allow this, some people don't allow anything. We need wisdom individually as families, as parents, so we can find the mind of God, so we can know his how and his when. Lord, how am I going to do this? When do you want me to do that? What's the best approach? You know, we don't just need the knowledge of it, but we need the correct use of knowledge with this wisdom. And the prophet says the greatest of all of the gifts is wisdom. You look in your gifts of the Spirit. The greatest is wisdom and then knowledge. And the prophet says, because we'll need the wisdom to know how to use the knowledge. All this divine knowledge that he gives us, that's a gift, that's grace. But without the greater gift, the wisdom, to be able to handle the knowledge, we can break things up, denominate things, make groups in the message by just using knowledge without wisdom. So let's come to pray, friends, tonight. I think it was a very serious thought when I thought of it. I said, Lord, this is what we're needing at this time now. Before we push any further, we need to come before the Lord and we need to ask the Lord for wisdom. As individuals, say, Lord, give me wisdom. Show me how. I don't know how to handle these things. I've never been in this situation before. But Lord, you have a provided way. You have a how and a when. You have your desired result and you have the right way to bring about that desired result. And if I just tap into you and you just speak inside of my soul and help me to discern that divine solution and I follow it step by step, all is going to be well. I'm sure that you'd find the same. So let's stand, saints. Let's just ask Brother Jess to lead us in one chorus. Show me the way. And let's bring this before the Lord. Before we bring any prayer requests or anything else, let's really pray for wisdom at this time, for divine wisdom in the things that we do. Let's sing this a few times and we come to a time of prayer. If anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally, the Bible says. Let's come before the Lord.
Savior, may be the center of our home. Saviour. They sprang at us, Lord, Saviour God. We scatter, Lord, Saviour, those things, Lord, back to the pits of hell, Lord, Saviour God. Deliver us, Lord, we pray. Lead us now, we pray. Have thy way. Speak your word, O God. And we promise, Lord, Saviour, whatever it is, Lord, that thou would, Lord, Saviour, deserve us, O God. We would be faithful, Lord, Saviour. Father, Lord, to yield to your word, Lord, Saviour God. And Lord, precious Saviour, Father, if we, Lord, Saviour, Father, fail to heal, Lord, Saviour, may you, Lord, Saviour, throw in all, Father, Lord, Saviour, the alarms, Lord, Saviour, the belts, Lord, Saviour, to get our attention, O God. May you, Lord, Saviour, Father, even, oh, cut off, Lord, Saviour, the pleasures of life, the food, the lights, O God, until, Lord, Saviour, we come to that place where, Lord, Saviour, there's a perfect resolution, Lord, Saviour. There's a perfect response, Lord, Saviour. Lord, to this, Lord, Saviour. Oh, captivity, Lord, Saviour, God. For, Lord, Father, it's a serious thing, Lord, Saviour, God, that, Lord, maybe we're taking lightly, Lord, Saviour, God. But we need to, Lord, take careful examination, Lord, Saviour. Oh, and just pay attention, Lord, to this enemy, Lord, Saviour, that has crept in, Lord, Saviour, God. Give us grace, we pray. Give us mercy, Lord, Saviour, God, that we, oh, God, may return to those days, Lord, when, Lord, Saviour, we repented, Lord, Saviour, God. Father, there was nothing like this, Lord, Saviour, that would captivate us, Lord. Father, the only things we had were the spoken words, oh, God, and the Bible, Lord, Saviour, the tapes, Lord, Saviour, God. Lord, we didn't have these things, oh, God. Lord, we didn't even have the phones, oh, God. But as they came in, Lord, Father, they slowly lured us in, Lord, Saviour. Father, Lord, Saviour, to this, oh, great darkness is blackness, Lord, Saviour, God. But how good it is, Lord, that the word would come, Lord, Saviour, God. Oh, but that eagle eye, Lord, Saviour, warning, Lord, Saviour, of, Lord, Saviour, this darkness that has crept into the camp, Lord, Saviour, God. Father, we just, Lord, Saviour, want to yield, Lord, Saviour, God. We want to be examples, Lord, Saviour, God. Oh, stand with me, Lord, Saviour. Even if it's my home, Lord, Saviour, God, that, Lord, it may be a home, Lord, Saviour. Father, Lord, Saviour, just holy, Lord, and preciously given unto thee, Lord, Saviour, God. Father, Lord, Saviour, even if it is, Lord, Saviour. Oh, Father, that we would be the role models, Lord, Saviour, to the estate, Lord, and to the people, Lord, that we dwell with, Lord, Saviour, God. Father, we ask in your grace, we ask in your mercy, Lord, Saviour, God. But, Lord, precious Saviour, how, Father, Lord, Saviour, much time is wasted, Lord, Saviour, even on the things, Lord, Saviour, that are got, Lord, Saviour, and how much time can we redeem, Lord, Saviour. Oh, God, righteous, Lord, Saviour, turning our eyes even upon thee, Lord, Saviour, turning back, Lord, Father, to the word, turning back, Lord, Saviour, Father, Lord, Saviour, to Lord, Saviour, all this message, Lord, Saviour, that we've not even, Lord, Father, fully utilized, Lord, Saviour, God. We ask in your grace, we ask in your mercy, Lord, Saviour, God. Oh, precious Saviour, oh, our services, Lord, Saviour, are governed, Lord, by the passions that we have for those things. Our prayers are governed likewise that way, Lord, Saviour. And, Lord, if we would come to that place, oh, God, where we, Lord, Saviour, be released of this one, Lord, Saviour, then we can go back to those places, Lord, Saviour, where, Lord, we'd be lost in prayer, where we, Lord, Saviour, we'd be lost in your word, Lord, where we'd be lost, Lord, Saviour, in love with thee, O God, where our dreams, Lord, Saviour, when, Lord, Saviour, come from on high, Lord, Saviour, God, oh, God, lead us, Lord, Saviour, guide us, we pray, even upon this time, Saviour, we thank you for this word, Lord, Saviour, we thank you, Lord, Saviour, for your kindness, Lord, Saviour, for visiting us, Lord, Saviour, even upon this time, Lord, Saviour, God. Make us now, Lord Saviour. Oh, Father, Lord Saviour. Role models, Lord. Role families, Lord Saviour. That, Lord Saviour, hold up high, Father, these things that we believe, Lord Saviour, God. Father, we thank you, Lord Saviour, for your kindness. We thank you, oh God, for your greatness, Lord Saviour, God. For you above every situation, see, Lord Saviour, before we do. But we are trusting in you, Lord Saviour, for all my eyes cannot see. Father, but I'm trusting in you, Lord Saviour, that has now been lead, that has fallen. Guide us now, we pray. Shepherd us, my God. We are trusting. You have the preeminence. May you have, Lord Saviour. Father, Lord Saviour, as Lord Saviour, thou hast spoken, Lord Saviour, that we would just draw nigh unto thee, O God. Oh, Father, not, Lord Saviour, a small portion of the way, but all the way, Lord Saviour. Oh, Father, just help us now, we pray. Not just your grace, O God. For, Lord, it's in these places, Lord, that even if we don't sleep all, Father, weak, Lord, Father, we find strength and grace, Lord. Father, Lord Saviour, to break, Lord Saviour, into those, Lord, realms, O God. Help us, my God, I pray. Lead us, we pray. Bless, we pray. Father, the ministry. Bless, Lord Saviour. Oh God, our pastor. Bless, Lord, his helping hands, Lord. Bless all these things, Lord, that we would fulfill these purposes, O God. For this one, Lord, Father, Lord Saviour, has, Lord, come in and crept in, Lord Saviour. And we, Lord Saviour, want to take it to task, Lord. We want to, Lord Saviour, trap the underfoot, Lord Saviour. We want to scatter it out of this place, Lord God. That we will be a church, Lord, of people whose hearts and minds are fully, Lord, surrendered unto thee, Lord Saviour God. People, Lord, who are holy, Lord Savior, even say amen to these things that have been ministered, Lord Savior. Father, we are grateful, Lord Savior God. Although the world may call us man, Lord, but we are manly, Lord Savior, in love with thee. And we want your ways, for your ways are always right. Keep us now, we pray. Sustain us, grant us grace, O God. That these, Lord Savior, young ones that you've given unto us, Lord, that we will raise them the way that thou would desire. Lord, it won't be us, but it will be you, Lord Savior. Oh, doing the job, Lord Savior God. Look to thee, and trusting in thee, Lord Savior, as thou hast led us thus far. You may bring us, Lord Savior, on. Oh, from glory unto glory. We thank you, we love you, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Saints, let's just open our Bibles, Exodus chapter 10. We'll just take a short thought from there to finish off. You know, the prophet said in Noah that not, he says, I say this in the name of the Lord, that before the second coming of the Lord, the world will go completely insane. He says it's the television and those things that are producing it. You know, so you can really see this age. And he says, wait until I preach it, he says, it'll be those plagues opening up. And if you have a look, the plagues in Egypt, we know that the Lord calling spiritual Israel, it's spiritual plagues. The prophet says the last plague is spiritual death. In Egypt, it was physical death. So when the Lord comes and calls natural Israel in the tribulation, there's going to be natural plagues once again. So, but in us, when it's a spiritual kingdom, it's the spiritual calling of the bride, there's these spiritual plagues. And that's what he's speaking about this plague of insanity and the plague of immorality and that. So in Exodus 10 verse 21, which is the ninth plague, the second last plague, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh. Stretch out thine hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness that may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand towards heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. So there came a gross darkness before the last plague came. And what was the last plague? Was death. And the Lord at that time, when the gross darkness came in, the Lord now said, let's read our scripture from Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. Now we know that when the prophet is speaking about this, he's speaking about the token. You know, when it came time now for this plague to come in, first in the darkness, and then the darkness was going to lead into death, God gave a provision. And it was a provision that only came into existence in evening time. You know, before, like the prophet says, being circumcised was enough. You could be in Goshen, you could be circumcised, the plagues wouldn't bother you. But when it came to the last plague, circumcision wasn't enough. Just to be able to say, look, me, I'm a Jew. You know, I gathered together with the rest of the children of Israel. It wasn't sufficient to meet the challenge of that plague. That last plague when it came. And now the Lord came and he said to them, you need to take the blood and you need to apply it to the door. But every family needs to take a lamb and you need to apply this. And the last plague, which is the death, when it came, the death angel, it affected everybody. Every single family was affected if you didn't have the blood on the door. Yeah. If you didn't put the blood on, the same plagues that were visiting Egypt were going to come into your house. Now, if you just left things the way that you were and just said, look, we message believers, we gather in Goshen, we believe in the prophet, you believe the pillar of fire came, that was insufficient to meet the challenge of that day. There came the time as the gross darkness came in, and then as the spirit, the death angel was now about to come, the Lord now said, okay, now you need to go and speak to the congregation of Israel, that every family needs to take a lamb for themselves, a lamb for a house. And obviously that became the responsibility, firstly, of the father as the priest of the home. You had to make sure that you took the lamb and you kept it for 14 days. It was a spotless lamb. Slayed the lamb, and then you took the blood and you made sure it was on the door for the sake of your family. Can you see? And the prophet now, when he brings the token, he brings it down to this. He brings it right down to the day that we're living in.
because it was the most serious of times. Now, this plague, when it was coming in, and friends, the time we're living in now, if we are not very, very vigilant, and like I'm saying, if we just stay in a natural dimension, we don't get into the spiritual dimension of these things, exactly the same things that are visiting our neighbors, we find the same plagues in our house. We find the same things that are affecting their mental health and the same things that are affecting their development and the same things that are hardening them and desensitizing them. And the prophet says, these things will lead to insanity in the end. You know, and the prophet was here in the time when it was just television, imagine. And television was a serious thing. Now, Brother George was praying that when we grew up, we didn't have screens in our pockets, but we used to go home and sit and watch five hours of television. It wasn't good for us either. Already the prophet had warned about it. He says, these televisions and things, they're going to bring about this insanity. They're going to bring, this plague is going to come. He says, it'll be the plague when it comes. And whenever you hear that, he says, what are plagues? He says, plagues are devils let loose. You see, when people let down the standard, now demons come in. You know, when people rejected Moses in Egypt and the Pharaoh rejected the word, rejected the pillar of fire, the vindication, what happened? Demons were let loose now. And the demons were going through the land, manifesting in boils, manifesting in all of these things that were taking place. And friends, that's the time that we're living in now. You know, there's so much darkness behind so many of these things that we deal with. But the prophet now in the token message, when he speaks about applying the token, he says it in paragraph 284 of the token message. He says, only when the token is displayed, then the whole family must be under that token, must be under the blood. He says, Papa and Mama, I know how you feel. I've got children too. I've got to see them saved. I'm talking to myself too. I've got brothers, I've got sisters, I've got loved ones. I want to see them saved too, because remember, without the display of the token, they'll perish. There's no resurrection for them. That's right. They're gone. Only when the token was displayed. So it really comes down to a serious time now. There's no impersonation at the end. You know, it's not enough to have anything else. It's got to be the real thing or you perish. Amen. It's got to be the real thing that you have in your experience. You've applied the token, which is the life of the Lamb. Otherwise, the same things that in the world will overtake you inside of your life. And the same spiritual death that is striking the nations, you'll find yourself, you become subject to spiritual death. You wouldn't really want it to be like that. So then he goes to explain in paragraph 362 how this needs to be done. He says, listen how he says, we know this one. He says, firstly, you believe for safety. So it starts with me and it starts with you. It can't start with our children. It's got to start with me. I've got to apply the token first. I got to make sure these things are real to me and that I'm walking on the requirements of the word in simplicity before I can try to go and apply it for other people. He says, believe for safety, then apply. He says, here's what you want. You want your own safety. Then apply the token for the whole family. You'll say, how can I do that? If it worked on you, yeah, he says, then you and the word becomes one. So the first thing, the word's got to become flesh in me. I can't come and speak about these things and speak about the things that we need to do. And then you expect you can apply the token onto our families, onto our home, onto our children, when I'm not living them. That's why it says, first, you yourself have to apply the blood for yourself so that you and the word become one. Then he says, see, it works for both of you. You and the word are one. Then apply it to your children. Then apply it to your loved ones, like Rahab did. Now, Rahab is such a good example because when those spies came in and God gave her grace and she knew the condition, she looked and she saw, but wow, this is a serious age that we're living in. I wish there was some way that I could find assurance, I could find security in this age. And the Lord sent those spies to her. And they came and they ministered the word to her. And she said, we know that your God is God. We know he's going to destroy all of these, the Gentile civilization because of all the iniquities and the immorality. And they said, please give me a sure token. Give me something. And they told her, take this scarlet rope and hang it in your window. But they actually told her, when you see us coming, hang it in your window. But you know, Rahab wasn't a person that wanted to put off till tomorrow what needed to be done today. The scripture says, as soon as the spies left, she went and she put it in the window. And that's what we need to do with the word. Don't put it off and say, look, I know what needs to be done. I've got the scarlet rope in my bedroom. One of these days, I'll put it there. No, a genuine believer, you want to apply it now. You want to make sure that it's effective now. You want to do what the word tells you to do now. And that's exactly what Rahab did. The prophet says, you apply it. Say, Lord, I'm going after my son. I'm going after my daughter. I claim her. Satan, you turn her loose. I'm coming after. I apply my token, the Holy Spirit. Then he says, you pray, oh, Holy Spirit that lives within me, catch my daughter there. I'm going to her now with your anointing upon me. He'll do it. Amen. Can you see what you're saying when you're praying for wisdom? You want to get the anointing upon you. You want the word to be real to you. Like Brother Baker said that time, you can never expect people in your family to love the Bible if you don't love the Bible. No, you can never really expect to bring someone to love Christ if you don't love Christ yourself. People have got to see it in you. And that's the thing that makes the difference. So he says, in applying the token, make sure you've applied it to yourself first. Let the word be, you know, whatever the word is saying to you, you apply it in your own life. You get in the spirit of it. You get the anointing upon yourself. He says, now you're going to have the wisdom to go and deal with whoever it is that you're trying to deal with. And he goes on to speak about what they did in Egypt and so forth. But to finish off, he says in paragraph 373, he says, get ready, apply it, believe it, clean up. Let your children, let your family, let your loved ones see it in you. That's right. It'll take effect then. Yes, sir. Then apply the token in prayer. So that's always the place where the battles are first fought, is in prayer. And friend, it's such an important thing for us to apply the token in prayer at a time like this. You know, to really come and get before the Lord, like the prophet says, and claim your rights and claim your family. Yeah, and rebuke the devil with anointing upon you and claim them in prayer. He says, apply the token in prayer with consideration. Now, what is consideration? It's careful thought, typically over a period of time. So while you're praying and you're applying the token and saying, Lord, I want to change in my house. I don't want to see this in my home anymore. Lord, I want you to be in control of these things. I'm praying for your wisdom. You're praying with consideration. You're going to handle the thing considerately. Now, you're going to handle that thing the right way with the sensitivity that the Holy Ghost is going to give you. He's going to show you the right way to handle the situation. He says, pray with consideration, with believing. Apply it with such love. You see, I think sometimes that's where we fall short. You know, because it's the word is a powerful thing. It's a two-edged sword. But the Bible says, holding the truth in love. And the prophet says, when that hand is anointed, like with divine love, holding that sword, that is a powerful thing in the hands of God. He says, how do you cast out evil spirits? He says, people don't understand. He says, you cast them out by love. You go and listen to why are people so tossed about. He says, I saw this man trying to cast out demons. He's just stomping and kicking and fussing. He says, that's not how evil spirits are cast out. Evil spirits are cast out by love, by creating an atmosphere. You know, by approaching it with consideration, by applying it in your own life first, by being prayerful, applying the token in prayer first, you know, bringing the blood in prayer, applying it like Job did to his children in prayer first, because you have a discernment inside of yourself like Job, an intuition that, hey, I don't think things are going too well with my children at this time. He didn't have any proof, but he just felt inside of himself, things are not well with my children. What did he do? Did he go down and kick the table over in the house? No. He made an altar for each of them. The Bible said he prayed for each of them individually. He brought each of them before the Lord on a daily basis. Lord, I want to pray. With the individual problems that we're going through, the individual circumstances. So he'd pray, Lord, I'm praying tonight for Susie. You know, I really want to pray for her. You know what she's struggling with? I'm worried about her and the influence she's getting at work from that boy and stuff like that. Job offered the burnt offering continually, the Bible said. before he even did it, he just had an intuition inside saying, Lord, something's not right here. And he started now to take it to the Lord in prayer. And that was the Holy Ghost leading him. Before the crisis came, he had already applied the token. He had already offered the burnt offering for each and every one of them. Before the crisis came into his house, the prophet says, he says, apply it with love till you know it's going to take place. Apply it with confidence, believing it's going to help. So when you're praying and you see, but how is it my son these days, he's being influenced by the world the way that he is. Things are changing. You go and wrestle with the Lord in prayer about that one there. You go and apply the token. You say, Lord, I'm applying this with confidence. I'm applying with the love, Lord. Whatever there is that influencing my daughter or my son, I'm praying that you do whatever you need to do to get that out of their life. If there's the wrong company or you can just see they're getting a wrong influence, you can pray that influence out of their life. You can pray and God will bring a division between that and them and that person, and that alliance will be broken. That's applying the token, he says, in prayer. Apply it. Have confidence. He says, and then when you talk to that child, when you talk to your husband or your wife, talk to your loved one, believe that it's going to help. Just stand there and say, Lord, I've claimed them. They're mine. I'm getting them for you, Lord. You say, Lord, I'm not allowing these spirits in my home. I'm not allowing this, the Laodicea to take control in my home. Lord, I'm putting the blood on the door in the name of Jesus. And I'm praying the life that was in the blood, which is the Holy Ghost, let it anoint me. Yeah. Give me love, Lord. Give me understanding. What's the best way to handle this situation? But you're prayerful about it because it's very, very difficult if you've already prayed for someone to go and be mean to them. Yeah. You'll never really be insensitive to somebody if you're really praying for them. When you're praying for someone, then you go and speak to them, maybe your relative, your neighbor, whoever that's lost, and you're praying for them, seeking an opportunity. You'll walk very softly in your approach to that person. But it's generally speaking, when we're not praying about the person first, we're not really getting into the depth that we should before we go and try to handle the issue, we can do it in a very insensitive way. The prophet says, no, apply the token with consideration. Apply it with love. Then go with that anointing upon you because it's the spirit that's going to make the difference. It's the atmosphere that's going to cast out that influence. It's going to make them feel ashamed of what they're doing. Who was given the testimony the other day about the, I think it was Brother Wilson was, who was given the testimony the other day about their wife? Remember on the who came and gave the test about their wives watching the Nigerian, the Nollywood films? Somebody was giving it that. It was very good. To say that, that their wife was always watching these bad movies when they'd come home and claiming to be a Christian. And now they came and said, hey, I think it was when he went to England. So the husband came home, a new message believer, and he came home and he said, I'm so unhappy with my wife watching all these, these Nigerian movies. Oh, it was actually Brother Oliver told us. And so Brother Oliver gave him counsel. Said, brother, the best way to do it, don't fuss with your wife. The next time she watches, go and sit down with her and watch. He said, no, you're crazy, I'll never. He said, go and do what I say. So the next time he came home and his wife was watching these films, he went, Sonny, I want to come and sit next to you and watch. She turned it off, said, no ways would I allow myself to influence a man of God to watch these kind of things. You see, it was applying it with consideration. He could have fussed and fumed, walked in there, turned off the screen. She would have continued doing it. But when she found the divine approach of how to handle this situation, she never watched those films again. And I think there's a wisdom in those kind of things. He finishes off, he says, apply it. Create that atmosphere around you. It's the atmosphere. The prophet says there can be such an atmosphere that you can create that it paralyzes the devil. It absolutely paralyzes the devil. And that's what brings the result in the home. Because when the atmosphere is right, you can say very, very direct things to people. Now, you can really get down to business with issues that people are going through when the atmosphere is right. But if the atmosphere isn't right, it breeds resentment. And it breeds, frustration and anger and all disappointment and stuff. So applying the token is getting the atmosphere right. getting the anointing upon you before you go and deal with the issue, so that you've already prayed the issue through. You prayed with consideration. You prayed until you're really getting in the spirit of it. Then you're claiming it now. The Lord's giving you confidence. Lord, I claim the soul of my son. I claim the soul of my daughter in the name of Jesus. He says, create the atmosphere around you that they'll just drop right into. Yeah. They drop into that atmosphere, will come, and you sit down and you talk, and because the Spirit is there, they feel ashamed. Hi, Daddy, I'm very, very sorry. I was doing such and such a thing at school. I don't want to do these things. I know. You don't have to force things out. It's the atmosphere that brings the results. It's the atmosphere and we'll try to force it out, and we'll never get the job done. Or we'll get people to follow the law of Moses in the home. They still want to sin, but they're scared to do it. But rather let the atmosphere, let the token be applied. Come and apply the token to your house. He says, if you've got the token, you create a spirit around you, a power. And people love for you to say something to them, and they'll believe your word. Now, there's the truth. There's that something that speaks to the heart of a person when you're in the spirit. Yeah, they may try to fuss and kick, and they may not fully line up with it immediately, but they'll know, because the truth said with an anointing upon it strikes the soul. It hits the heart of a person. They might still be doing their secret things, but now when they go and sit in their bedroom, they're feeling bad about it because the Holy Ghost is convicting them. And the Holy Ghost can get the job done far more effectively than you and I can ever get the job done. And that's what he says is applying the token. He says it's having the blood on the door, having the anointing in your home, the anointing in your life. Let it be real to you first. Let the atmosphere be there. Go through the whole process in prayer first. Be like Job. Now be getting up each morning and coming in, offering the burnt offering, which was the token in his day, for every single one of your children, whatever it is that the Lord's laid upon your heart, and you claiming them for the Lord. And you're saying, Satan, you have no right in this. And see what a difference that it'll make. Because he never fails. When Billy Paul now made up his decision, I'm going to go to the world, I'm going to go and hot rod, and I want to go and gamble and smoke and drink. And the prophet says, Billy, you can make your own choice. But you're going to come back because I've claimed you under the token. He says, it might be a hard way back, but I claimed you under the token. You're going to come back. And friends, that's the power of it. Praying with a confidence about it. So in seasons like this, when we see these plagues all around, and we see even the earth is groaning at the moment. You see these earthquakes, and we see these strange things. You see in Dubai, flooding the whole of Dubai. We ever thought you'd have floods in Dubai? That the shopping, the big, big place there in Dubai, the whole roof collapsed because of too much rain. The world is falling apart, friends. It's these plagues are starting to come in, even in the natural now. Droughts, and we haven't even had a warm day just about yet, and we're coming up to May. The world is groaning, friends. And in this kind of season, when there's gross darkness, that ninth plague, he preaches in Shalom, gross darkness upon the people. But arise and shine, for your light has come. But we've got to get in the spirit of it, in the simplicity of it. And there's no way you can apply the token without prayer. The token is always applied in prayer. You know, you're going to have a look at every example of the token. It always comes through prayer. Now, when somebody is applying the token, then the Lord will say, what is it that you want? Yeah. There's got to be prayer. There's got to be consideration. It's got to be done in love. But you first have got to allow it to work in you. You know, so we can't go and say to our children, oh, too much time on the screen, and maybe we're the biggest culprits in our house. You know, let the word apply to you first. Go and apply it. Let it be real to you. And then it'll start having an effect on other people. So as we come to prayer now, just a short time of prayer, let's stand, saints. Let's really apply the token on behalf of our loved ones, our relatives. Think of your relatives that don't know the Lord. Think of this day. Think of this age. Think of where you would be now if it wasn't for God's grace bringing you into grace, bringing you into the message. Imagine just how these things would be sweeping you. Imagine how you would just be full of Netflix all the time. You would just be given up to all these things like the world is. But God has granted you grace. And God didn't grant us this grace just to keep it to ourselves. He wants us now to use this grace to apply the token for other people. So we want to pray for Brother Eli's dad in Congo. He's been sick for the last few weeks. So let's really apply the token with consideration for Brother Eli's dad. that the very life that is in the blood of the Lamb, the Holy Ghost, the healing power will go and visit him and raise him up from that time. Brother Leroy was so grateful. They took that needle out of the sister. They thought that'd have to take days. Just when saints prayed, it was so powerful. You know, how when he phoned me, they were really in a panic because of the situation in the hospital. And yeah, I said, no, bro, all will be well. You'll see it. God never allows these things without there being a blessing. And I wouldn't be surprised if she comes out much sooner than they think she's going to come out. So it's a wonderful thing when the saints can apply the token on behalf of somebody else. So let's apply the brother Mike Kadango isn't able to make it tonight. Let's pray for him as well. And anything else which the Lord has laid upon your heart, let's just come before the Lord. Most importantly for our own homes, it's a lamb for a house. Say, Lord, help me. I really want the blood to be applied in a real way. I want your anointing, your spirit to be in my home. I want the right atmosphere in my home. And let's just come in a season of prayer and put these petitions before the Lord. Father, we need you.
Lord, that you can tell to the promised thing. We ask you, Christ, that you, Lord Savior, you can stay.
Let's ask Brother Wilmore to come and close for us, if you would, Brother Will. Let's just unite together. There's certain things, as Brother Wilmore would pray, let's agree together concerning our project coming up, the church building. First one is our bank account. Now, because we have to close our old charity and we have to open a new one, they've written a letter to, they got a hold of Brother Wilmore this week saying that we have to prove to them that we've closed our old bank account. They're getting quite strong. But we've been trying to get our new bank account opened at TSB, I think it is, and it's really delayed for weeks and weeks and weeks. So they want us to close the old one. It means we just don't have a bank account. So we're just going to unite ourselves together as Brother Wilmore prays for that, that before the end of this coming week, we have our bank account in Jesus' name. It's going to open up. The second thing is let's pray for Brother Max with his foot. We really want to see Brother Max back in good health again on the weekend, on Sunday. Let's really pray for him. He's got a problem with his foot. Let's say maybe it's something of the bone. But let's put our brother before the Lord that the Lord might really touch him, that all will be well. Let's not forget our brother Henry as well with his eyes. Let's pray for him. And let's not forget the service and so forth. And whatever else Brother Wilmore has. Next weekend I'll be away with Brother Virgus at the men's meeting in Belgium. So please do pray for us for the Lord to bless that one as well. Let's unite as our brother comes and prays for these things and for Sunday and whatever else the Lord puts in his hand. God bless you, brother.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful for your grace and your mercies tonight.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, that you have brought us through this week, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, you provided for us. You watched over us as we went on the roads and back home safely.
Amen.
All these things, Lord, we are so thankful that you brought the children to school and back home.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. And then, Lord, that you could bring us tonight here to church and we could sing the songs together and we could hear the preaching of the word. Father, what a privilege that we have as a people. Lord, so many people would desire to have what we have, Lord. A place where we can go and gather together and worship you.
Yes,
and Lord, take away all the pressure, Lord, and renew us in our spirit. Amen. That, Father, we could face another week, Lord. So we are so grateful for that, Lord, and we want to worship you and honor you tonight. Yes, for providing us with this opportunity. Lord, even as we heard of your word tonight, Father, we pray tonight, Lord, for wisdom.
Yes.
That, Lord, you may fill every brother here, Lord, with thy wisdom, Lord.
Amen.
That you may fill every sister with your wisdom. Lord, do not stop there, Lord, but we pray that you fill your wisdom to every child that is in here, Lord. That, Father, the world would see a difference. That, Lord, the wisdom of God is different to the wisdom of man. Help us, Lord, and fill us with this wisdom that we may not walk, Lord, according to the wisdom of the world. That we may not walk according to our own knowledge and understanding, but that, Lord, according to thy wisdom, we may walk and judge things, Lord, and do what is right. Please,
Amen.
Lord, may you grant us grace, for the world has been traveling in uncharted waters for many years now,
yes,
Lord,
yes,
with this social media that has come like a flood and has buried so many people.
Yes.
But, Lord, we thank you that in the midst of it, Lord, you have sent your voice and it has shown us the way, Lord.
Yes.
So now we are grabbing onto it, Father. May you guide us to safety. May you guide every family, Lord, to safe land, Lord.
Please,
that,
Lord,
Father, these plagues that are falling upon this world,
Amen,
may not touch any of these, your
yes,
children. Help us, Lord, Father, in our lives, that we may apply the token daily in our conduct,
yes,
Lord, for the sake of these, our children.
Yes,
oh, God, how so thankful we are that you have given us, Lord, all that we have need of, Lord,
yes,
to
Lord,
do what it takes to overcome the hour that we are living in.
Amen.
We thank you for that, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Bless us now and give us strength. Lord, the world has been made in such a way, Lord, we have to work, we have to do all these things, Lord, and it makes us tired, Lord.
Yes,
but Lord, we thank you that you always renew our strength.
Amen.
So may you grant us in our families, Lord, the grace, Lord, Father, to do that which you have shown us must be done.
Amen.
Lord, that which you lead us, Lord, to do, that we may have a haven of rest, a place where your Holy Spirit is welcome in our houses,
Amen,
Lord. May you grant it, Father, for every family. Lord, we want to commit, Lord, our needs into your hands.
Yes,
we are such a needy people, Lord. Father, but we are so glad tonight that you always answer us, Lord, and give us, Lord, Father, that which we have need of.
Thank you,
so
Lord.
Tonight, Lord, we are coming, Lord, on the behalf of our brother Eli, Lord,
Amen.
Thinking of his father down in the Congo.
Yes.
Lord, be merciful to him.
Yes.
May you touch him where he is and renew his strength and give him good health, Lord, that he may enjoy the sunset years of his life, Father, in good health. May you allow it to be so that we will hear a testimony, Lord, for our brother Eli. Lord, we are so thankful to hear of our sister Melania, Lord, what you have done for her today. A situation that quickly became hopeless. And Father, Lord, you came on the scene and changed everything, Lord. And tonight, Lord, oh God, we are looking back at a testimony of what you have done for our sister.
Amen.
We commit her into your hands. May you continue, Lord, to work through her, Lord, until she's home safely with the new child. We commit them to you. Keep them safe, Lord.
Amen.
That, Father, their story may continue, Lord, oh God, to inspire many to seek for you, oh Father.
Amen.
Bless our brother Leroy. Give him strength at this time also,
Lord,
Father, and bless the family. Father, we pray for our brother Henry.
Yes.
Lord, we will not forget him, but we commit him into your hands. Lord, that you touch our dear brother, Lord.
Yes.
May you help him in his hour of need, Lord. Amen. Father, oh God, that this affliction that is upon him would come to pass, Lord, and that, Father, oh God, he would stand in the post of duty once again,
yes,
together with his family, to
Amen.
Glorify your name.
Amen.
Bless them and keep them safe and provide for their needs, Lord.
Lord.
Even our dear brother Maxwell, oh God, how the enemy has desired, Lord, to sift him, Lord, Father. Trouble after trouble, the neck, the shoulder, the foot now, the kidneys, and all these troubles, Lord.
Yes,
Father, yet in all of them, you always deliver him, Lord.
Amen.
So we are thankful that even for this foot, you will deliver him too, Lord, and that we'll be together with him on Sunday, Lord, to worship you. Bless him and keep him safe, Lord. And Father, all this transition that we are going through,
yes,
so many things, the bank account, the new church, and oh, Lord, Father, we know all is well, oh, Father.
Amen.
We just want to rest in your promises, Lord,
yes, Lord.
That, Father, we would never come to a place where we are perplexed and we don't know what
Amen.
To do, because you are our guide. We can just rest in you, Father.
Amen.
We commit it into your hands. That, Father, the closing down of the old charity, Father, the bringing up of the new and all of it, Lord, we put into your hands.
Yes.
And we're just resting in that knowing, Father, that all will be well.
Amen.
Bless us, Father, as we transition to this new church. Father, we are looking forward to it, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
May you help us, Father, in all the program that will unfold, that, Lord, it may all work together for good.
Yes,
bless Lord. Now, Lord, thy servants that have stood tonight, our brother Jesse, Lord, our pastor,
yes,
Lord, in ministering to us, Lord, renew their strength.
Peace, Lord.
Even tomorrow, Lord, as Father, thy servants would shut themselves in, Lord,
oh, Lord,
to seek your face, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we want to commit them into your hands. That you be with our pastor once again.
Please, Lord.
Father, you be with our song leader once again.
Amen.
You be with our Sunday school teachers once again. Lord, as they turn to face to you to seek your face, Lord, for a word on Sunday.
Please,
Lord, may you meet with them, Lord, and anoint them and give them thy word, Lord,
Please,
that
Lord.
Will be delivered unto thy children on
Amen.
Sunday. Bless us also, Lord, as we would gather on Sunday, that we'll
Please,
hear your word, Lord,
Amen.
That we'll see beyond man, but that we hear your word from your throne room, that which you have for us in store
yes,
for this Lord. Hour. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. Be with us now as we would depart to go home. Lord, keep us safe and watch over us as we ask all these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, bro. God bless, bro. Let's sing one, Brother Jess. Thank you, Brother. As we dismiss, God bless the saints staying behind for the all night. May it be a wonderful time. I'm sure it will be a glorious time. Amen. Safe journey, saints. Let's dismiss with this song, whatever you have, bro.
Where he leads me, I will follow him. I can hear my Savior calling to take thy cross and follow, come follow me. So where he leads me, oh, I'll go with.